Well, here we are for a special Saturday podcast. We did it last week. We're doing it this week. I made one little change. We've been working through the new video format. Last Saturday, I didn't do video at all. This week, we're doing the video. I decided to use the Philadelphia skyline as the great backdrop there. You've got, I think it's Commerce One and Commerce Two are the buildings, Liberty Building there. I don't know all the iconic Philadelphia buildings. There's only three compared to New York, where there's a ton. We have family up in New York, so we always kind of compare. Two very different cities, that's for sure. Believe it or not, I prefer New York over Philadelphia, but that's another story altogether. I do love Philadelphia. It has its charms, been around here a long time. We're not in the city. We're outside of the city, and I prefer to be a little more outside of the city if I had it my way, and probably relocate altogether somewhere else. We've been talking about Texas for a while, but North Carolina is beginning to look attractive. In the meantime, my wife and daughter have zero interest in any of that, so here we are outside of Philadelphia. And it's Saturday, and I want to just talk about something a little different today. You know, I guess for my own sanity as much as anything, and there's more to it than that. That is, I don't want the show to become a fixed on news and politics. And I suppose I could do the conservative mainstream things, you know, repeat. And I've just said, I don't want to do that. You know, I try to make the show entertaining. I put a lot of work into it. I don't always get it right, but I try to make it an enjoyable listen. And I'll just say this right now, you know, nobody has a crystal ball. Nobody is all knowing. You're getting opinions, and that opinion is based on a certain perspective. Mine, coming from a veteran perspective, a combat veteran, having witnessed what I saw, historical really, how it was misreported, being a whistleblower, my time working in government, coming up on 7 years of podcasting, written 4 books, all that to say, I got some stuff to talk about, man, and that's how we're able to put this together. So what are we talking about here today and why? Well, I wanted to say that to you, lead you to the point that I want to talk a little bit about old school talk radio, and not really to talk about the old school talk radio itself, but really how it compares to what we're getting today, because I'm here to tell you it ain't the same, and you probably realize that. There's some good stuff out there. I wish I could remember the guy's name. I'll get it at some point, but my brother sent me a podcast. A sports guy, interviewed Deion Sanders. I was blown away. And what I realized there is that the sports guys are doing a heck of a lot better job at the craft of orating than the news and politics guys are. Just my observation, just my opinion. Except for me, of course. I'm doing a great job at it. Not the video when I'm sitting here rubbing my face, which I tend to do. I'm not sure what to do about that. Some video extra, you can't do that. It's probably like the equivalent of drinking on the podcast. The very first podcast I did that, I had this special cup of coffee that I was talking, because I usually have a cup of something here in the studio at the desk in case I need a little sip. But you don't want to hear me sip on it, I can promise you that. And probably, you know, rubbing your face on videos, probably the equivalent of like drinking. So, but I don't know what to do. I could pause. We ran into problems with that. I could clip it out. But who wants to go through all that? Do you really care about any of this? You want to hear what I have to say about the old school talk radio, don't you? Listen, this podcasting thing is incredible, and I'm going to walk you through that a little bit too. But it's very, very different what we're getting, and I want you to understand why that is and how it was different, just so you understand what you're getting now. What made me think of this is I was pulling together these images for the cover photo for today's show. And I decided to take this show a whole different route as a result of the photos. And it's actually my show notes today, believe it or not, is these photographs that I'm looking at, these four different collages. Why do I tell you this? It's a great way to give a presentation. If people make the mistake, right? You're going to say, work says, hey, I want you to present something about what you do at your job. And you freeze and go, I don't like to present. And so you put together slides and then you read them. the slides. And the audience hates it as much as you do because it stinks. Here's a better way. Throw up a great image and talk about the image. Just like I started here with the opening, the backdrop. Hey, these are the buildings. This is where I come from. That's what I was telling you, the story of where I come from. But I didn't do it. I didn't get on and say, I'd like to begin today by telling you where I'm from. Although I guess I could have done that, but that's not how the craft works best as I see it. And the imagery creates an easy way to flow into a very natural conversation. I've found, I've done it many times. So you just come up with some great images that tell the story of what you want to do. And you say, well, I'm in accounting. All right, well, show the report, the software, whatever it is going to trigger you to make you think about what it is that you want to talk about. And it's just very powerful. There's probably a term for it. I think this is what's the Babel software and things like that, or Rosetta Stone. I think it's the imagery. It's just it becomes a much, much better story and way of orating. It really does. And then combining the two is fabulous. And I just want to let you know that's what I'm doing today and kind of how the craft works behind the scenes. So where the story began, why am I telling you all this? The story began back, I'm going to say, about 10 years old. My daughter's 9. She's in third grade. I was a year ahead. So I would have been 8 in third grade, 9 in fourth grade. It would have been third. I was younger. I may have been as young as 8. I started listening to talk radio here in Philadelphia, WWDB 96.5. It is the same station that I now broadcast from, which is just amazing to me. And we had a radio in the house. And why do I say this? We here at our home no longer have this. There's radios in our alarm clocks. I have this little replica thing in the studio here. It looks like an old, radio, obviously. And it's just like a little toy kind of thing. It does get radio reception, but it's very poor. Never listen to it here in the house. Maybe I should change that. Is it time to bring back radio? Would bringing back radio be a great thing instead of all this digital? Something to consider. I think radio is struggling on a number of different fronts, and the quality's really dropped. But anyway, I thought that was interesting to mention that we and what it was. Me and my brothers, the three of us shared a room and a bedroom, and we had it might have been an alarm clock radio. I don't remember the quality being particularly good. I think it might have been a stereo, though, that we had in there, one of my older brothers. I say stereo, maybe a boombox. I really don't remember. But it was an actual, AM. Actually, it was FM at that time, broadcasting an FM talk radio. Zero of those stations here in Philadelphia today. Sports talk, but no political talk. No longer here in Philadelphia. No FM stations at all. AM only. And so we were listening to it back then on a real radio in the house, which we don't have anymore. Everything now will be digital, replay. And as I'm thinking through this, I got to tell you, I think we give up a little bit with giving up the live. I think in a lot of ways and going all digital. And I'm going to talk to my wife about this. We might invest in a radio here. I don't know how often. I think I might listen to the AM stations, bring some traffic back. It's a great way to communicate. But this is how I grew up. And here's the thing. The guys that were on that, and there were some women too, but it was mostly male dominated. And you didn't have any of this woke stuff. You didn't have any of this, they're all alpha males, is what I'm trying to say. They're all alpha males that I can recall. I'm sure that wasn't completely the case, but from what I recall, very strong-minded alpha males, strong-spoken. And it was that wisdom that they brought that I just thought was incredible. And here's something else. And maybe I got it wrong. I don't know. But I never felt like the host was trying to tell me what to think. And I've tried to bring the same to the podcast, to our show. Not so much saying, hey, here's what you should think about this, but asking the question why, this childlike curiosity of why. That's kind of what's driven me all along. Why do some guys talk about these things? Why is it important to talk about it all? Why should we care? All great questions. Why is somebody doing this? Why is our government doing this? Why are these politicians doing this? I think it's the key to understanding. And it's what, to me, was the fantastic thing about the talk radio. It was like a portal into understanding. I guess that's gotten replaced with what? Google? But look at the results. Look at the difference in what we've created. It's pretty fascinating, really. A complete quagmire from something that I think was a really an American iconic, I don't know what you call it, but broadcast. Unique to American culture, I think. And I think it was one of those things that was great, and we've given it up. And so now we moved into this era of podcasting. And it's changed a lot. You know, for one thing, there's zero barriers to entry at this point. You know, for less than $50 a month, you can get hosting. There's probably free subscriptions around somewhere. You can get a microphone. I mean, there's guys getting great success out of an iPhone and a simple app. You really could turn the phone upside down, talk directly into the mic, and record into a mic swap app. The mic swap app is an app that I used for, 4 years. I didn't know how to use Audacity that we have now. Now there's Adobe After Effects or something that the fancy guys are using. I don't do much editing at all. But my point is that the podcast that you could for, you know, $50 a less than 50 a month, $30 a month, and $50 for a microphone, Audacity's free. You're off and running. You don't have a computer. You don't even need it. You could do it literally in a mic swap app and start and post the podcast. Now, if you want to make it good and things like that, you might want to go a little further. There's no reason why you couldn't do that. I mean, I literally did. I mean, I had a microphone that I plugged in through the tablet I would do it on, not my phone, but same thing. And yeah, it was a USB microphone into a mic swap app. Most of you have heard this story by now, but the first podcasts I recorded were into a Zoom microphone that I had in a box to amplify the sound a little bit. And it's just funny going through all this. But anyway, the net result of all that is that there's just like books. There's so many. Everybody's got a book now. Self-publishing just completely changed everything. And as a result of that, there's a lot more books out there. And I don't know that that's completely a good thing either. And these things, the podcasts, the books, they become saturated. And now you've got AI breaking in on this. And you could literally have, at this point, type a couple of bullet points in. I could literally do this right now. I don't have the sound piece set up, but I do have the text piece set up. And I don't have the sound piece set up because I have no need for that at all, obviously. But I could go into my notebook, type in a couple of bullet points. Old school talk radio, listened to WWDB as a kid, grew up listening to it. Maybe the more bullet points I give it, the better it's going to be in terms of the output. I'm going to give it 10, 12 bullet points. You could easily create a podcast script out of that, feed it into an AI voice generator, and it'll talk it for you. And it's happening. I haven't listened to any of that yet. I know it's happening with the articles on a rampant basis. You see, I was like, that doesn't make any sense, because it doesn't. And a fascinating story I haven't told you, not that I wanted to talk about this. Well, that's the part of the differences in yesteryear and today. So my new book, Victory Over Chaos, I edited it with AI. And I thought, I don't need to even use a human editor. How great, I can save the money because I publish, self-publish as well. At the last minute, I decided to send it to the editor anyway, and thank goodness I did. There was more errors than any other book manuscript I've written and edited on my own. And my English and grammar is absolutely horrendous. Absolutely horrendous. Anyway, what you're getting now is on demand. I think better quality in a lot of ways than the radio, but that's not completely true because you've got the whole market saturation. And I'd say the higher quality podcasts, in my opinion, are you know, better than the high quality radio shows of yesteryear. But the problem they have today is just a lot more garbage that you got to sift through to get to it, if that makes sense. And some of you are saying, yeah, well, you're one of them. Well, fine. So be it. I don't think so. We have a pretty loyal audience. And so that brings me to the next thing that I wanted to talk about with all that, all this. And that is, you know, what do we talk about on the podcast and why? And that has a lot to do with the tie back to the old school roots, frankly. You know, those guys back, they would talk about all kinds of stuff, you know, new airplanes, new cars, new this, the traffic problems, school, politics, of course. But it was just a lot of basic stuff that people cared about, wanted to keep an eye on. Even weather patterns and having genuine discussions about it, not just this canned follow the leader, both directions, right? Climate change, climate. There's no climate change. In the meantime, it's like, guys, you know, there's some changes going on. You know, what are we doing to deal with that? You know, we don't have to scream climate change to invest in improving our electric grid, for example. We can just say that we need it for resilience purposes. And I get it. It's harder to motivate people without all the fear-mongering. For the love of God, for our own mental health, we got to stop. Where does all that bring me? The very overused term, common sense. And when I say that the old school broadcasters, that they brought a high level of common sense, it's exactly what I mean. They brought a high level of common sense. Now, that means something different to everybody these days. But I'll tell you this. You know, times change. They certainly do. There's a lot of changes constantly going on. But there's certain principles, particularly when it comes to human nature. And these things really don't change. They really don't. People don't. Human nature has not changed in at least 4,000 years. And I talked about it a little bit yesterday. I talked about the video of the Afghan woman that I saw being beaten by the mob. And listen, the long and short of all that, we need a serious dose of common sense in this country, a serious dose of reality. You have people ready to flush down the toilet. Very important principles, foundational to our way of life, that are evaporating in front of our very eyes. And there's going to be consequences to these things. And I want to be a bit of a voice to all that. And it's like I said, it's not because I have a crystal ball, because I don't. It's not because I have some super wisdom, and you know I don't if you've listened this far in this podcast. It's not what I bring to the table. It's asking that basic question, why? I did this video back in the day, back when I was playing around trying to figure out how to do video and how to get stuff to work on social media. I did this video, why does popcorn pop? And do you know why it pops? Well, it's an interesting, not all popcorn does, and that's why they tend to gravitate towards this particular kernel or two, this particular corn type that they'll use. Well, there's a little bit of moisture in that dried kernel. It's not completely dry, but it has a hard outer shell. And when it heats up, that moisture causes it to pop and expands and blows up the kernel like that. And the heat basically, I guess, causes it to change its state, if you will, from that hard kernel to something expanded from there. And it's really pretty interesting. Anyway, some people would know that, some people wouldn't know that. Of course, I found it online, so it's not like I have some, you know, scientific lock or x-ray vision on what's going inside the kernel. It's just an interesting way to explain the importance of understanding why. You go through your daily life, you eat popcorn, you look at the popcorn, you taste the popcorn, you smell the popcorn, but you never really understood where it even came from. And so you really haven't understood popcorn at all until just now when I explained to you why it pops. I could go into this from a spiritual perspective too, as you go through the Bible stories and you'll see the lessons. What is it? They forgot why. They forgot what their purpose was. They forgot why they were there. And it happens. It happens. And that's the great gift of oration, in my opinion. That we can come here with a microphone, and if I can capture your attention, and if I can convince you to listen to me just long enough, then maybe I can impact your way of thinking. And like I said, it's not because I'm going to say to you, think this or think that. I enjoy being challenged on thoughts and ideas and even changing my mind on occasion. But I think that having the conversations is good. Not all these conversations can be had. We got things going on right now. We're not on talking terms yet. You know, we need to come to some kind of an agreement how that's going to happen after you're just burning our cities and stealing elections and locking down the population for no good medical reason, as it turns out. That's all topics for another day, right? But I don't think there's reasoning with that. But I don't think we need war either. So somehow we have to create an environment of dialogue. And that's what I hope to do, at least a little bit, by bringing you this podcast. And I don't know. All I can do is do the best I can do and keep coming back every day. I wanted to talk about a little something else before I let you go. And that is the business landscape for all this, which I am now firmly in. What was a hobby for a very long time has now become a business for me. Now, time will tell here in the next couple of months, probably, whether or not it becomes a part-time business or a full-time business. And, you know, I may get involved in something else or not. We'll see what time comes. Right now, I'm kind of leaning towards either. It's funny. I have many things that I have interests in besides this. But I also have interest in doing more of this. I love doing this. I really do. I'm just telling you, I have other interests as well, including other business interests. And I may want to pursue some of that. We'll see what happens. I may have the time coming. We're just taking it one step at a time. Anyway, it has gone from a hobby to a business. And the business climate in the broadcasting business, the media business, has completely changed. In some ways good, some ways bad. First, I'll start with the struggles, if you will. I wouldn't necessarily call it bad, but in my case, it may be a difficult proposition. It used to be that a great path to broadcasting success was to earn yourself a spot, I guess either in the White House or something like that, or on a national show, Fox News or something like that, like Dan Bongino, right? He became known on Fox News. You look at Laura Ingraham, what's her name? Megyn Kelly, Bill O'Reilly, what's his name down in Texas? All of them became known on Fox News, developed their following on Fox News. I would be interested to know if any of them are gaining any market share and all that. And I'm guessing the only one who did recently was Bongino with the picking up of the Rush Limbaugh market. But the people that were listening to Rush Limbaugh, were they actively going somewhere else? That radio time was filled with something different, long and short of it. And I don't think they were podcast listeners. And I think there was a big loss there in many, many ways. But my point is this. It used to be that, hey, you wanted a fast track to stardom in this business, you get yourself on one of the news shows. And that's different. I mean, first of all, good luck doing it at this point. And secondly, you're just not going to get the pushers even watching Fox News anymore. I don't watch it. If Fox News called and said they wanted me on tomorrow, I would go do it. But it's not something on the top of my list. I don't see it as that valuable. With all this dilution, you know, everything's become a mile wide and an inch deep, I think, is what I'm trying to say. I think the big players are nervous, and the game has definitely changed. And it could be a real struggle in this environment, I think, trying to build a big audience. And we'll see how successful I am in generating growth. We're on an uptick now, which is good. You know, social media sharing, the volume of what's being created, adding the video, all having a positive impact. And I appreciate your referrals. It means a lot. And that's a great way for us to grow. Just recommending the podcast to other people, sharing the links out on social media is great. But either way, I'm going to have to deal with that. Now, on a different side of this, and I've been talking about this a little bit, there's a whole new business model at play. It's done away largely with the big salaries. You heard about the Don Lemon fallout on the Twitter thing. That was horrible. I watched him interview Elon Musk, and I just thought, what is this guy doing, this Don Lemon? And first of all, how phony he looked. He had these giant eyebrows, these big bushy eyebrows. I know it's all superficial, but there's something looked out of place in the glasses. I'm like, what is going on with this guy? And then he's sitting there hammering on Elon. Oh, you don't think there's racism? I don't want to put words in his mouth. You can go watch it for yourself. But the whole thing was really ridiculous to me. And then Elon's like, I'm not bringing this guy on here. And I don't understand why Twitter wanted to do that anyway. Does Twitter really think that they're going to get, you know, video time with Don Lemon and start feeding that out to everybody, that that's really what Twitter users want? That has been from MSNBC? I don't think so. I'll be surprised how much of that you see going on. But the companies, mark my words, are going to play it both ways. What is that? So Twitter's come out with this revenue share model. I don't believe that they said they're not paying Tucker Carlson. They're going to pay a salary to Don Lemon. I don't know all the details of this to know what's true or what's not or what I'm saying here. But there seems to be a difference in how the two are getting treated. Tucker Carlson, it seems, has to earn his money through the views, and he's probably making out well from that, while Don Lemon is going to get a big salary, and who knows what other demands he had thrown out there that he didn't get, I guess. And maybe Elon's like, hey, come on here and compete like anybody else. And I watched the video, that little bit that they had set up, just all of it I thought was just really poor. And this guy's just like, hey, I'm MSNBC, I'm Don Lemon, and I make big money, send me checks. And it's like, the world's changed, bro. You're in for a little bit of a ride with all that. I think that you'll find that things are quite a bit different now. Maybe I'm wrong. We'll see where he ends up, whether he gets out of it. But the revenue share model and the affiliate marketing, where that you have creators now that can participate in the traffic and participate in the sales that are generated, it's kind of cool. Now, this too has led to the rise of something a little strange, and that is that you'll see these high-margin affiliate offers out there, like mattresses, for example, and suddenly they become all over the place in the media, in the, you know, the broadcasting, and it's a little strange to me, but there is other money coming in to the podcasting from big businesses that were on radio, maybe want to blend with social media, want another way of getting out there, making sure that they're getting in front of people. So all that to say that the business environment right now, I think, is pretty friendly to the small-time creator looking to make a name for themselves. But the path to trying to get known is harder than ever, really. And I'll say this, Dan Bongino put it out in a tweet recently. He said, in this environment, you really need to, if you have a loyal audience, you better make sure that you're delivering for them every day. And I feel that responsibility. A lot of this, some of you have been with me the entire time, people from day one, which is fascinating. It's a new word I made up, fascinating. My wife heard one of my blunders. I said, I blunder all the time. I just own it. You know, how many words do you think I spew out in a particular podcast? Enough to write a book, my friends. Do you realize that? Every one of these podcasts could be developed into a book of its own. It's really fantastic when you think about it, that we can deliver that kind of volume with such an amazing voice, wouldn't you say? Well, not everybody agrees with it or what I have to say, that's for sure. What are you going to do? We're going to cut it a couple of minutes early today. Why not? It's Saturday. Hopefully you can get outside if the weather's good. My daughter's off next week for spring break, and I'm looking forward to spending a little time with her, including two things I'll tell you about before I let you go. We're going to do a little studio makeover. You won't notice the difference. Yeah, you might. We might change things on the walls a little bit. I don't know. I might even change the layout the more I think about it. There might be some big changes coming. We'll see what happens, but I'm going to get her to help me. And you know what else she's been doing? She's been helping me make videos. This software that we have is so easy to use. And I have this subscription right now for stock imagery. She's making these animal videos. I thought, this is great. I'm going to turn her into my little producer. Hey, God willing, I'll be back on Monday. Sure hope to see you there. In the meantime, make it a great day.